The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:50pm with Mick Norton, James Millman and Brian Toomey in the studio. Two jumps meetings domestically, one from Ludlow and one from Plumpton. There's also good racing from Leopardstown with a few classic clues there. National Hunt Racing from Killarney in Ireland as well, and Guinea's Day in Longchamp in France. Good stuff to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mr. Stephen Powell. How are you, Stephen?
Very well, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Yes, I'm not too bad, thank you.
Good.
Good racing all weekend, really, and it continues on Sunday.
Yeah, it is. It's a fantastic two-week period, sort of from the Guineas onwards, because obviously you have the Guineas. and then we get the 3 days at Chester, cracking Saturday with the Derby Trials at Lingfield and Swinton Hurdle for the National Hunt fans, as well as Ascot, of course. Then we, as you rightly say, have the French Guineas rolling into York next week as well, and the Irish Guineas the week after that. So
yeah.
And then the Derby in sort of like 3 weeks' time. So it really is an exciting time of year.
It is. Well, I'm sure the classic markets will change again after York next week, and then
yep.
And then after the French, after the Irish Guineas as well. It's an entertaining time of year, and we're going to look at some of that action, the next instalment, if you like, which comes up on Sunday. But before we do, let's just have a quick reflection on Chester. There are a few classic clues there. Obviously, the two Edna O'Brien winners.
Mm.
Do you think they're going to figure in the Derby?
I think Orchestra might do, actually, yeah. For a big horse, Chester's probably not the easiest track, and I think they sent him there to learn something, and I think he will have done. He travelled well, got quite a smooth run through. Ryan Moore said afterwards that he didn't want to be overly hard on him when he thought he had the weight of race won in the closing stages, only for Romsdale to really stay on well and close the gap. Those two clear of the others, and I think that Orchestra, you know, going down the rule of the world route in terms of after last year, not many people were raving about him, but he went into the Derby as the only horse who'd won over a mile and a half, and obviously he went on to win. So it wouldn't surprise me if he was involved. Generally, otherwise, the ground sort of took a little bit of the gloss off the meeting for me. But I was very impressed with Prince of Stars, who won a maiden race there for John Gosden and William Buick. Really well-bred individual by Sea of the Stars, and I think he might go on to some better things. And the sprinter, Blythe Spirit, who was out of the gates like a bat out of hell on Friday and made all of the running on soft ground and didn't hold back at all, I thought was quite nice and could be a decent three-year-old sprinter. And way back at the first race, which was won by the Mark Johnston trained horse, I think Mutila, he's called, who won the Lily Agnes, from stall 10, conceding weight to all of its rivals, I thought was a good performance from him as well, and wouldn't surprise me if we saw him perform creditably in one of the good early season 2-year-old races, the likes of the Norfolk and that sort of thing. So one or two little talking points from Chester. And you know, like I said, not a bad meeting, but for me, soft ground at big flat meetings just sort of takes a little bit of the shine off, but all in all, not a bad 3 days.
Okay, yeah, I can't disagree with a lot of that. I mean, how many winners has think it was Muckmal, by the way,
not Muckmal.
Matila was a filly, wasn't it?
Yeah, he went skits and nearly kicked Paul Hannigan in the face.
Meh.
Muckmal, that's what I meant.
How many winners have been by Sea the Stars of late as well?
Yeah, he's absolutely rampant, isn't he, at the moment? And obviously, there's sort of, in a way, a lot of his horses are following a similar profile to him in the sense that he was a good two-year-old, but he got beat first time out. He won the Beresford. It wasn't a particularly strong renewal of that Group 2 at the Curragh.
Yeah.
And then obviously, he was just like a different animal as a three-year-old. And a lot of horses are either not starting off until now because they've been given time to mature, or if they did have one run last year, or two runs, they're showing more this season. Obviously, he's got the favourite for the Oaks into Gruder, who scraped home in a maiden at Newmarket over a mile, but
again
was like a different horse when she won the Pretty Polly last week. He won the Cheshire Oaks with a Nipah, who seemed to step up, appreciate the step up in trip to a mile and a half. And obviously, he's from a wonderful family as well himself. It's not that he's just a good racehorse. He's got a great pedigree, being a half-brother to Galileo, who, of course, is the leading sire at the moment. So I've no doubt that eventually he will probably... Well, I say no doubt and probably in the same sentence. I have no doubt that he will be a top-class sire.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, let's leave that there. Let's move on and look at Sunday's racing. Mm. We're going to look at the French 1000 and 2000 guineas at Longchamp. We're going to look at one of the races from Ludlow as well, and that's coming up in just a moment.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, then, let's look at Sunday's racing. We'll start in the two races at Longchamp. The first of them is the French 1000 guineas, or the Poule d'Essai de Pouliche, if you want to say it in a very bad French accent. 2:08 is the time of the race, and well, there's plenty of them coming into winning form, coming in winning form here, Stephen. I must admit, my French form isn't as strong as my domestic form, but you've been looking through this. What do you like here?
Yeah, it's a fascinating little race, actually, Mark. This French 1000 guineas. Less Talk in Paris is likely to head the market for Jean-Claude Rouget and Aritz Mendizabal, an impressive winner of a Group 3 trial over course and distance 4 weeks ago, and was runner-up in the Prix Marcel Boussac on Arc Day last year when well-fancied behind Indonesienne, who's also in this lineup as well, and was only third behind Less Talk in Paris in that trial race 3 weeks ago. We've also got another trial winner in there, the French trial winner in Excellence, who's trained by François Duman, won the Prix Imprudence at Maison Lafitte over 7 furlongs. A bit of a farce of a race, really, that day, in that they dawdled ridiculously to the first 6.5 furlongs and then had a half furlong dash in which Excellence came out on top. But obviously the important thing for her is that back in fourth place was Miss France, who obviously won the 1000 guineas at Newmarket last week, and so that obviously does give us some sort of chance. I referred earlier on to Less Talk in Paris beating Indonesienne 28 days ago. Straight Thinking was between the pair that day for André Fabre, Maxime Guillon, but she's finished second twice to Less Talk in Paris, and I don't see any real reason with a clean race why she should reverse the form.
Okay.
Although I do think that Indonesienne will probably get slightly closer this time to Less Talk in Paris, having beaten her in the Prix Marcel Boussac last year. So they're all very tightly tied in the same colours of Indonesienne is Bawina, who's at the mount of Olivier Pellier. Bawina was very impressive in two conditions races this year, having been down the field in her only run as a 2-year-old. Big step up here, but obviously connections think that she's worthy of it, and Olivier Pellier would have had a choice between Bawina and Indonesienne, yeah, and has chosen Bawina, so you have to respect him for that. We've also got in there as well the Aga Khan horse, who is Vader, who's trained by Alain de Roy Dupre, who's won this race 4 times. Christophe Soumillon's in the saddle. He's a dual course and distance winner. Its only other run was also at this track when well beaten behind Indonesienne and Less Talk in Paris in the Marcel Boussac in October. So obviously on that straight line, if you take it directly, has to improve. And then we've got the two British runners. Firstly, Jay Wonder, trained by Brian Min and the manager of Christophe Lemaire. Quick and well to win the Fred Darling over 7 furlongs at Newbury, and that was an improvement on the form she showed last year, and then they've specifically targeted her at this event, Jay Wonder, and she you would think instinctively that draw one's pretty good for her at Longchamp, but if she misses the break, she's going to be down on the rail behind loads of runners, so she's going to need a clean run, Jay Wonder. And I'm also have a slight concern about whether a mile really will be her optimum trip in time. Whilst the other one, El Sakira, won the Rockfell at Newmarket over 7 furlongs last year before finishing down the field at the Breeders' Cup, was touched off in the Fred Darling by Jay Wonder, but was doing her best work at the end. So I'm inclined to believe that she might reverse the form with Jay Wonder this time around. There are two other British runners as well, incidentally, in Queen Catherine and Cape Factor, but they've got to both improve massively on what we've seen so far. And the other one I'll mention, and I think this one will outrun her odds, number one, Avenir Certain, who's also trained like the favourite Less Talk in Paris by Jean-Claude Rouget, and she's unbeaten in 3 starts as well. She needs to improve, but at the prices, I think she might be a bit of value. Because the trainer's got the favourite, she's a little bit overlooked, possibly. So I think she'll outrun what might be juicy odds for her, Avenir Certain. But on the form and on what we've seen so far, looking through the French form, I do think Less Talk in Paris is probably the most likely winner. She's got a nice draw in 8 as well. She's not too wide, and she's in a position where she can take a nice position. She's not going to get buried back in the field either. So most likely winner, Less Talk in Paris, I think, but a stable companion, Avenir Certain, to possibly outrun her odds.
Okay. Jean-Claude Rouget won too, maybe?
Possibly, yeah. Possibly. He's won the race before as well, of course.
Okay, onto the 245 at Longchamp next, and this is the Pool d'Essai de Poulain, which is the French 2,000 guineas. And we'll start here with who's likely to be the market leader, Carac Conti, who won the Jean-Luc Legardeur at the ARC meeting last year. And finished well ahead of a couple of these runners as well, Golliway and Prestige Vendôme on that occasion. So he's got that form in the book. He's drawn one as well, which looks a pretty useful draw. Do you see him as the one to beat?
Yeah, I think the draw might be slightly less important here than in the fillies race, possibly. The reason we're alluding to the draw is because they go into a bend after less than a furlong at Longchamp, so obviously there can be a little bit of hustle bustle in the early strides. But yes, he's the one who probably is the one to beat. Carac Conti, Stéphane Pasquier rides, as you say, won the Prix Jean-Luc Lagardère. Was only beaten three parts of Valence in a trial on his return, but again, a very sort of typical messy French race in that they didn't go very fast earlier on, turned into a sprint finish. I expect them to probably go more of an even gallop here, which may well suit Carac Conti. The one I actually like, though, is a horse who was second to Carac Conti in a Group 3 here at Longchamp in September, Decathlete, who's trained by André Fabre. Won very easily over this course and distance on his return. Five lengths, very impressively as well. And as I say, wasn't beaten far by Carac Conti in that Group 3. So they are quite closely matched. And I fancy him to maybe turn the form around. And possibly may well have improved a tad more during the winter. Also in there, we've got Kidam, who's a very speedy horse trained by Jean-Claude Rouget. Won a Group 2 and a Group 3 over six furlongs last year. His last win came in the Criterium de Maison Lafitte. But he's drawn 14 of 14. And I also think that seven furlongs might, or even six, he might end up being a sprinter. I think he's a sprinter, basically. Mm. And they're just sort of testing him to see whether he'll get on mile, and I think that he might see it out, but I think others will see it out better, possibly. Okay. We'll also mention Giovanni Baldini. He's a winner of a listed race at Dundalk, was second in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf to outstrip, fourth in the UAE Derby, and I just sort of get the impression that he's probably sort of midway down the three-year-old pecking order at Ballydoyle, not one of their stars, but worthy of running in a Group 1 from time to time. But I think he might run well, sort of fourth or fifth, without actually winning, Giovanni Baldini. And then we've got Galloway, who was third, well behind the favourite Carac Conti on his return. So though Carac Conti was beaten 4 weeks ago, he was only just touched off, and they were well clear of the third, Galloway, so he needs to improve. Whilst I also think the British runners, Las Hawil and Muari, are both very interesting. Las Hawil, when he's made my eight lengths at Newcastle last year, and was fourth behind Kingman and Knight of Thunder in the Greenham, so obviously very solid form.
Yep.
And Jamie Spencer rides as well at Las Hawil. And Muari, unbeaten in two runs for John Gosden, quite impressive in a handicap at Newbury on his return, at a time when the Gosden horses were flying. Now they're not flying, but they're running well. You know, the form isn't the same, but they're not running terribly.
They're still in decent enough form, aren't they?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, it's not like, I mean, none of his horses were getting beat at all, really. Where now, obviously, you can't sustain that. It's not possible. So I think there's more, he needs to improve, but there is possible that could happen. But whether he'll improve enough to win this, I don't know. And out of the two British runners, Latterwill, probably the one that I side with, because he's already got that sort of solid form. And what was in his second run to finish fourth behind Kingman and Knight of Thunder, I thought was quite a decent effort. So I think of the British runners, Latterwill will go well. And of the French, I think Decathlete might be open to a shade more improvement than Carac Conti, who's had, I think, probably nearly twice as many races.
Okay. Let's move on to the 4:15 at Ludlow, then back on these shores for our third race. And this is a handicap chase, one extreme to the other, really, I suppose. It's a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles. And shall we start here with Memorabilia, who hasn't really raced much for the last couple of years, but ended what was his last campaign in February 2013 with a win at Doncaster, reappeared at Southwell and won pretty easily as well. They won by five lengths on that occasion. So he's clearly unexposed and got ability over fences. Do you think he continues that here?
Actually, I think he does. He's got a progressive profile, as you say. It took a while to warm up in a couple of runs over fences before the Doncaster win you alluded to. Obviously, he had that long break, then came back and was very, very impressive at Southwell. And I think that Ludlow, Southwell, flat, easy 2 miles, decent ground, are sort of perfect conditions for him. Mm. And although he's up £10, I think there's every chance he will go in again here. And interesting as well, I think, it was sort of publicised earlier in the week that John Ferguson and Dennis O'Regan won't be having a stable jockey sort of relationship anymore. But Dennis O'Regan's still riding memorabilia, so obviously they've not completely cut all ties. And Dennis O'Regan, sort of horse, sort of man, or sort of jockey, even, that suits memorabilia, I think, in that he'll set him up nicely at his fences. I just like Dennis O'Regan, the way he rides, and the way he presents horse at a fence, and that sort of thing. And I'm quite keen on him, actually. Of the others, Gallic's Bridge, disappointing C1 at Kempton in October. Still £5 above that win. I mean, in fairness, he was highly tried last time. But whether he warrants a rating of 1-3-2 on what he's done so far, I'm not sure. And the same goes for Bold Henry. He's only had two runs over fences, which were in late 2012. Had a very long time off before running at the Aintree Festival over hurdles, which is a run that you can forgive quite easily. Obviously unexposed in this sphere, but again, a mark of 130 is fairly high, but it wouldn't surprise me if he ran well. Oyster Shell was pretty one-paced at Haydock last time. He's got generally a decent record here at Ludlow, but I thought at Haydock he shaped as though he was just sort of looking and running as though he's had enough, basically, for a time being. He was outpaced, well beaten, just didn't really race with any enthusiasm. Whether Ludlow sparks him back to life, I'm not sure, but if it does, he could go well, but I'm not convinced it will. And then I'll mention Zarzel Visored for the first time. If that helps him, he'll go as well as a previous course and distance winner. While Sands Cove ran well last time out at Kempton in a Class 4 handicap chase, back up in grade here. And I think that just might find him out a little bit because he's been beaten every time he's running this grade so far. So all in all, lots of them are sort of run-of-the-mill, mid-range handicap chasers, and the only two that don't really fall into that category are Bold Henry and Memorabilia. And Bold Henry still has potential to go on an upward curve, whilst Memorabilia already is. So I'll stick with him.
Okay, fair enough. Let's just have a quick summary then, Stephen, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your three selections for Sunday one more time.
Yeah, the French 1000 guineas, not very original, but I do think Let's Talk in Paris, the favourite, will go very well. But at the prices, Avenir Certain is its stable companion, I think will run well also. In the French 2000 guineas, I think that Decathlete for André Farb is the winner for me, with the British runner Lata Will going well in that affair. And then at Ludlow, Memorabilia won very well at Southwell. And in a field of horses that may not pose too much trouble, he's still improving, so I'll take him to beat them.
Okay, good work, Stephen. Thank you very much. Enjoy it on Sunday.
Yeah, thank you, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Stephen Powell on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:50 p.m. with Mick Norton, James Millman and Brian Toomey in the studio. It's Ludlow and Plumpton domestically. Good racing from Ireland as well, with some classic trials at Leopardstown and National Hunt Racing from Killarney. And it's French 1,000 and 2,000 guineas day at Longchamp as well. So plenty of racing to look forward to on Sunday. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.